So today is the observance of the Tirubhav, or disappearance of His Divine Grace. Om Vishnu Pad Shule Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I spoke recently in Srila Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan extensively, and upon returning here, you also asked last time about the parikrama, and I, for the most part, reiterated what many of the things that I said in the room there. So if I say something a little different this evening, you can understand. Reflecting upon that time and in the summer of 1977, I was part of a group of devotees who were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in what were at the time called communist countries. And they were, referred to in that way most often, and particularly in Eastern Europe. And we considered it an honor and a privilege to have that seva. And much to our delight and surprise was Srila Prabhupada's response to that book distribution. Sometimes he would say that like one book there was worth 1,000 in another place. So if you're distributing one book, that makes you feel really inspired that every book counted and was likely to be read by many. And one devotee and I, who were traveling partners, we got a, a letter from Srila Prabhupada, from his secretary, saying like, the news of books being distributed there was like, Prabhupada said, it was giving him life. Everyone knew that his health was not good, failing and entering the very last period of his life. So when he said, news of your preaching there is giving me life, what greater news could we receive? And he also said, this is our most important preaching, with profound implications. So we felt a special privilege and being to participate in that seva. And as it concluded, I was offered the opportunity to continue preaching in Eastern Europe, which I happily accepted, and then dedicated all my time and energy to that, knowing, as we had heard, how much this was pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Because, and Guru Maharaj later would say, getting seva in a place where there is increased, or a type of seva that includes increased risk, makes it even more valuable and rewarding. Actually, Guru Maharaj very nicely analyzes what we were doing and gave an inspiring conclusions about that. But so we continued preaching in Eastern Europe. This is all at the end of the summer of 1977. And until November of 1977, And I'm saying this for a reason, that I was in Poland at that time, and this is before the internet, and you know, how rapidly we make international communications now. So, as fate would have it, my partner and I, we did not hear about the passing of Srila Prabhupada for a week. As we were traveling around from city to city in Poland and not getting any news. It's not like we're getting news from people on the phone or by anything. For the most part, to others, our whereabouts are unknown. We're traveling to cities in Poland that most people would not know the names of if you did not live in Poland. And if you cannot read Polish way of expressing, it's also a little difficult to travel, special characters and things. But so after traveling, we came back to a place which was our base, a place called Wrocław, to someone's apartment. And as we entered, this devotee there with, you know, like just a very solemn, sorrowful look on his face, he just handed me a telegram. Someone had sent us a telegram. And it mentioned that Srila Prabhupada had left the world, and we collapsed in tears and heartbreak, uncertainty, confusion, and we felt the need to just immediately return to our home base, which was in Germany at the time. And that devotee and I, as we were traveling and trying to process all of this, as we looked on the landscape, could only recall the Shikshastakam of Mahaprabhu. Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha prabhushayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahiname. Particularly this line, sunyayite jagat sarvam. Everything that we saw looked void. The whole world looked like it was in black and white or very unappealing shades of gray and lifeless, and you know, with tears in our eyes, we returned to the home base, which is outside of Frankfurt, and understanding that it had been a week since the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, I thought certainly there will be some sort of international meeting of all the devotees. All the senior devotees will come together and discuss how we're going to go on. And it was explained to me that actually Prabhupada had given some directions before he departed, just prior, and that since this was in November, and the annual Mayapur festival is approximately February, March, that the international meeting of all the senior Prabhupada disciples would be deferred to that time. And as we inquired about what were these instructions that Prabhupada had given, saying certain people he indicated, they had his recommendation to proceed as gurus, initiating their own disciples. But it was said that that he said, when the necessity arises, who shall we consult in your absence? So when the necessity arises to consult higher authority after my disappearance, you should go to Sridhar Maharaj. So that time came in 1978, and the GBC, as a body, approached Srila Guru Maharaj, and they asked him many questions regarding guru, disciple, and such things. And a lot of what was said is, you find in the pages of Sri Guru and His Grace. But after that, the local person in charge said that they're going to go through these talks and extract what they think is relevant for the devotees and distribute that to them. He said, but I have these tapes, I have recordings of the, you know, the entire conversations, and you can hear them. So as I began listening to these tapes, the first thing that happened was that I began hearing the voice of Srila Guru Maharaj for the first time, we can say, in this lifetime. And it was unmistakably, undeniably, the eternal voice of Sri Guru. So this was astonishing to me, that I was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, exclusively dedicated to him. But as I began to hear Srila Guru Maharaj's voice, it was unmistakably, undeniably, the eternal voice of Sri Guru. And we, being so young, meaning the disciples of Prabhupada, including the senior disciples of Prabhupada, we could not articulate how we felt in his absence, his disappearance. Was beyond what we are capable of expressing, almost like orphaned children. But as Guru Maharaj, before answering their questions, he started addressing the disappearance of the spiritual master. And as he spoke, everything he said was perfectly expressing what we were unable to express. And that's the first time heard Srila Guru Maharaj give the example about the lotus, the water, and the sun, which Gurudev later incorporated into the Mott logo. And Guru Maharaj said, we have been told in the Shastra that, you know, Guru is like the water, and the Shisha is like a lotus in that water, and Krishna is like the hot sun. When the lotus is situated in the water, the hot sun is nourishing the lotus. It thrives. Right? He said, but remove the water, and that very sun burns the lotus. It needs to be safely sheltered and situated in the water. So he's saying, the Shisha is the lotus, the Guru is the water, Krishna is the sun. When we're sheltered by Sri Guru, that means Ashraya Vigraha. sometimes expressed that way. The personification of shelter, right? The Ashraya Vigraha, when the disciple Shisha safely situated in the waters of the shelter of Sri Guru, then the hot Krishna sun is nourishing the Shisha. Separate the water from the guru, from the disciple from the guru, and that very sun, Krishna, burns the lotus. It's not a position in which the disciple will thrive. That is how guru-centric we are, how critical is the relationship between the guru and disciple. So that's one thing that Srila Guru Maharaj said. Then the other, as we told, through our eyes, we're recalling the verse of Mahaprabhu, Sunyaite Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahiname. Seeing the world, sunyam, means like zero, void, vacant. But Srila Guru Maharaj, he quoted this sloka from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. It says, Sunyaite Mahagoshtam Girindro Jagarayate Vyagram Tundayate Kundam Jivatu Rahitasyame. And Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva Acharya of the Rupa Nuga line, he's expressing this, the absence of Sri Guru with even, more comprehensively. And what he says, because Mahaprabhu was saying, devoid of Krishna, in separation from Krishna, I see the world as, you know, zero, less than zero, void and vacant. And then Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, being separated from Sri Guru, that which was formerly the inspiration for my service and my service aspiration now appears antagonistic to me. And two things he mentioned. One, Govardhan, Girindro Jagarayate, Giri, like we're saying, Govinda, Indra, we're talking recently, Giri Indra, the king of Giris, of mountain, Govardhan, Girindro Jagarayate, is like a python, because sometimes you see Govardhan is like that, he's saying, now Govardhan is looking like a python coming to swallow me. Saying, what is he expressing here? That holy place, Govardhan, we're told, Radha Kunda is Radharani, Govardhan is Krishna. He's saying, now Govardhan looks like a python coming to swallow me. Vyagram, Tundayate Kundam, and Radha Kunda, Govardhan Krishna, Radha Kunda, looks like a tiger when the tigers open their mouth, coming to devour me. And it is consistent with that, what Das Goswami expressed in the sloka, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi Tvam Chet Kripam Mayi Vidasha Shinayava Kimme Prane Brajena Cha Bororu Bakarinapi. He's saying, the aspiration of my life, what gives meaning to my life, is this aspiration to have the service of your holy lotus feet. As we told the other day, Srila Prabhupada, he personified this sort of exclusive devotion. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Where this quality of disciple sees no other reason to live, to exist, than to fulfill the order of Sri Guru. Their every ounce of their being, energy, intelligence, focus is directed toward that end, the order of Sri Guru. as Srila Guru Maharaj says, when we can take and factor in that Guru is Radharani's delegation, it means Radharani's suggestion. What could be more important than that, or what would we divert ourselves to? Her suggestion is everything to those who realize that. Prabhupada personified that. What Das Goswami is expressing, that same current is flowing in him. So, this is my aspiration, and if that is taken away from me, the aspiration to serve, have the service of your holy lotus feet, then my life is of no value. My life is meaningless. So Guru, he's invoking these slokas and these concepts to say, these are the sort of feelings that will descend in the heart of the sincere disciple in the absence of their guru, at the time of the disappearance of the guru. They will think, how can I go on? Why should I go on living? All of these things that are expressed there, they will feel that. And as Das Goswami says, prani, rajena, chaburo, that, and what is more valuable than my life? Because generally, we take it that everyone, you know, self-preservation is the highest principle. Everyone conceives of their life. They can't conceive of something more important than that. And even if someone suggests, well, what about parents and children? Or Guru would say, extended selfishness. Because your children or your what are related to you, that's the basis of this affection and emphasis. So self-preservation or extended self-preservation. Right? We can't generally think of anything higher than that, but Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, Bhai Kuntir Prithivyadi Sakala Chenmoy. We may rightfully conceive that every aspect of the spiritual world, including the soil, is of a superior substance to ourself. That we may consider in a general sense. What to speak of the highest representation of the spiritual reality with the most concentrated dedicating tendency and ultimate sweetness, Vrindavan. So you're saying that Vrindavan, and which is the in terms of a destination, the target, the goal, he's saying that without you, that is of no value to me. So my life is of no value to me. What is more valuable than my life, Vrindavan, that is of no value to me. And what could be said more than that? He's saying, and Krishna, without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. Bakari, baka, ari, bakari, like the killer, the demon killer, not seeing them. Krishna in an appealing, sweet, seductive, attractive way, but sorry, he's saying, my life, Vrindavan, Krishna, all of no use to me without you, without the service connection of your holy lotus feet. So this was Srila Guru Maharaj's intro, you could say, before answering all these intricate questions. They'd come ostensibly to ask questions about gurus and disciples and first initiation, second initiation, sannyas initiation, the formality of pictures on the altar, honorific titles, all these things, and which are important. I don't mean to imply they're not. But what is sometimes missed are these are Guru Maharaj's opening remarks. Because you understand, they're our guru left in November, December, January, February, 3 months before the conversation. So Guru Maharaj, he's in a particular mood. when he's approached. And so he begins by expressing these things. And just hearing that, hearing these things, I was captured. And I thought, he is expressing fully and beautifully what we're incapable of expressing. And then he went on to say so many things more. But Srila Prabhupada he personified this exclusive dedication and devotion to the order of the spiritual master. Sometimes he would say, I'm following my Guru Maharaj's orders blindly. Sometimes he would say that, like, I don't know what the result is, but he's seeing like really good results. But he meant to say like, I just follow this order blindly that was given by him and then see what happens. But so many wonderful, extraordinary things happened. And, you know, we can say, I mean, quoting him, that when he, it's amazing how these things happen, but he says that a friend of his told him about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada was not interested. Because he thought, in principle, like, oh, I've heard about so many sadhus, so-called sadhus, paramahansas, it's, you know, like, no, thanks, but no thanks kind of thing. And he said, but my friend insisted, no, you must. This is someone you really need to hear. And so he goes, because his friend is so much like pushing and insisting. Just think of how like critical these things are. I mean, we can couch it all as Leela, and we do, but still it makes it the drama of the pastimes that more intense. So his friend insisting that he go. And so they speak to Srila Saraswati Thakur, I believe, on a rooftop, perhaps Ulta Danga, and again Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada said he has a little, whatever you want to call it, argument, but he says to Saraswati Thakur, he tells him, I think we need to, India needs to achieve independence first. And then we can promote Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu's cultures, Krishna consciousness. That's his argument at that time. Because he's saying, if as long as we're a dependent nation, who will listen to us? Who will take us seriously? So he was a member of Gandhi's movement. Guru Maharaj was briefly also. Many progressive young Indian men were part of this independence movement. So he said that was his suggestion to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he said, but my Guru Maharaj defeated me. And he said, it was natural defeat. I mean, like the guru should defeat the disciple. It was natural, but he defeated me. And he said, when I came away from the meeting, and his friend said, so what do you think? You know, and he said, I think Mahaprabhu's movement is in the most capable hands, the most capable person, and he's the right one for all of this. Like, that was an impression he came away with. And that was like 1922. And he was, you know, a chemist, an inventor. He's a very complex personality, but fascinated by medicine. Like Gurudev is fascinated by homeopathy. Srila Swami Maharaj is more just not any particular type of medicine, but including Western medicine, all of it, Ayurvedic, homeopathy, all of it. and he invented, created different things. He's trying to realize some success in that business field. And he said, so he'd be at his pharmacy. And his pharmacy, at different times, located in different places, but one of his clients was Indira Gandhi when she was a teenage girl. She later became the Prime Minister of India. And so he knew her so much so that he called her by her nickname, which was Indu. And later, when she was the Prime Minister and he had a meeting with her, he called her Indu and reminded her when she would come to the pharmacy, and she was slightly embarrassed and said, like, you're such an exalted soul, you don't have to come personally. She's the Prime Minister of India. She said, you don't have to come and see me personally, you can send one of your disciples. Or but still, Prabhupada said he would be at his pharmacy and doing, you know, mashing up things, making different medicines. And then he said he would stop and he'd think, like, in his mind's eye, he would recall the form of Srila Saraswati Thakur and think, what a wonderful sadhu I met. And then he'd like go back to what he was doing. But this sort of remembrance would keep coming to him. The words of Saraswati, you're an intelligent young man. Why don't you preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking countries? He'd see he was not initiated yet. He'd see him in his mind's eye and his heart from time to time in the different things he was doing. So by 1933, he was initiated. His name Abhay Charan Day, so he's given the name Abhay Charanaravinda by Srila Saraswati Thakur. And around that time, he also met Srila Guru Maharaj. Particularly, we just went by there on the Braj Mandal Parikrama, a town called Koshi. And there was an encampment, a Parikrama encampment there, and it was announced nearby is the Sheshai Vishnu. And there's some pastimes with Brajagopis, and the Parikramis were told, you can accompany the sannyasis are taking the Parikrama there, you can go there. But Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, he will be taking the class this evening, giving the class. So interestingly, Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he stays for that class. Guru Maharaj stays for that class. You know, and when they were talking at the inauguration of the Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir in Mayapur, it's that famous picture where you see Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj and Srila Guru Maharaj on the same Vyasa-san, and Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, he's at the microphone singing also the Kamprati Katai Tamiste Shlok. He gives his talk, but there is a discussion between Swami Maharaj and Guru Maharaj, and when he mentions that part about Prabhupada, I'm thinking, what will I see if I go to the Sheshai Vishnu deity? And you hear Guru Maharaj said, I exercise, and they both go, ha 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 ha. Because that was one of Saraswati Thakur's phrases, that this, when you think you're having darshan of the deity, just you're getting eye exercise. Your eyeballs are going up and down and to the left and to the right, you know, leading Guru Maharaj to conclude that actually we come to present ourselves before the deity because we have such little capacity to appreciate the presence of the Lord and his deity form. But at least we can understand theoretically or under the guidance of superior Vaishnavas. If I present myself, taking it that Krishna is actually there, if I present myself before the deity, that's good for me. Krishna can see me. My seeing of Krishna, very, very limited. But there are no limits to Krishna seeing me, seeing us. So it'll be good for me to present myself to the deity. And therefore, be nice and clean and tilak and dress nicely. But so they both stay for that class. And Prabhupada, it was a point of like, how do you say, you know, disciplic pride with him that he'd say, and my guru is noted, like, oh, because he's new, and he said, he does not go, like he's serious to hear. He said he made a note of that, like, this boy, young man, is very serious about hearing. And interestingly, and Prabhupada's very honest. One thing that needs, he's so great that sometimes at this point, his humility may be underestimated or overshadowed by his greatness. That so often he said, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, although he's translating all the Bhagavatams. He used Bengali books, and there's a way to, but he openly was saying, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. He never presented himself as one. Right. And he would say, there are many God brothers who are more qualified than me in different ways. Right. But what he, if we accept all of that, not as just statements of humility, but say that there's some truth in terms of relative qualifications of different disciples, what he stands supreme in is this exclusive dedication to the order of the spiritual master. There's no parallel to this, this type of abject dedication, right? Atmanivedanam to the extreme. So he would say, again on his humility, he'd say, some things my Guru Maharaj said I could understand, some things he said I could not understand, but I went on hearing. Just as Guru Maharaj references the Vedic saying, avritir sarva shastranam bodhadapi gariyasi, that he found this peculiar at first, but it said, it is not as important to the comprehension as repeated hearing. And we hear this echoed in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam. Kaviraj Goswami telling readers, just almost pleading with them, please just continue hearing Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. And it will come to you. It will, if you can faithfully serve by hearing regularly Chaitanya Charitamritam, then gradually it will be revealed in your heart. He has this confidence. We're trained since childhood about, you know, reading comprehension. I remember hearing this in school and like third graders. We're going to give you these tests, and what's very important is your comprehension of what you're reading. And I'm not saying that it's not, but the memorization of slokas and passages from the scriptures, Guru Maharaj said, if you can faithfully serve them and they become, you know, part of your consciousness, then like ice in time, they melt and the meaning appears. So he said, some things he said I could understand, some things he said I could not understand, but I would continue hearing. And this is in consonant with Srila Guru Maharaj saying that after the lectures of Saraswati Thakur, he would be surrounded by a group of the disciples of Saraswati Thakur asking him to help them understand what they had just heard. Right? So it gives us some idea of the depth of his talks, the height of the talks, the profundity. Right? But Guru Maharaj had that capacity to catch what was being given and to then represent that. And not in a with parrot-like representation, but could make it accessible and understandable to others. So 1944, he starts Back to Godhead magazine. And we know Chaitanya Sarasvatmat began really Guru Maharaj for a year in Navadvipa in 1941 and publishing Prapanna Jivanamritam. But he plants the flag of the Mat Pranam and Rath Yatra of 1942, we can say formally establishes Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat Navadvipa. So think, 2 years later, Prabhupada has begun Back to Godhead magazine, and he has his office in Calcutta. Is it? Number 6, Sitakant Banerjee Lane. Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, comes in 1947. So, and around that time, he's staying with Swami Maharaj in Calcutta. It's like the, he allows a room for like the Calcutta branch of the Mat. When Guru Maharaj is in Navadvip and Srila Govinda Maharaj will go to Calcutta, stay with Srila Swami Maharaj, go out and distribute Back to Godhead magazines, do some collection for the Mat and things like that. And he's also hearing Bhagavad Gita from Srila Swami Maharaj. And we know, you know, those who know, like with Prabhupada, he's the kind of person in the morning for breakfast, he has some like nice sabji, some hot puris. That's like a breakfast to him. Nice fried potatoes, like aloo bhaji or something, and some hot puris. And he would try and offer this to Srila Govinda Maharaj, who was Gorindu Brahmachari at the time. And as we know, Gurudev, his almost near obsession with Muri, we can say. I remember once when he said, before we had watch or clock or anything, we would tell what time it was by the stars in the sky and the sounds of the birds and kokils and others. And he said once, so when they would, he'd hear the different birds making their sounds and look and see stars in a particular position. He said, he didn't only say, then I knew it was time to get up and go to school. He said, and you know, get ready for, he said, I knew it was time to get up and eat muri. So Swami Maharaj would be there with his, you know, fried potatoes and hot puris and say, Gorindu, you know, tried to offer him, and he'd say, no, muri is fine for me for breakfast. And Swami Maharaj said, that is simply cheating the stomach. So they had a very sweet relationship. You can say Srila Govinda Maharaj was like the son that Prabhupada always wanted. He wanted that pure devotee son, the exclusive servitor. So a lot of genuine love and affection between them. Because when Gurudev at that Chandradaya Mandir opening said, he reveres my Guru Maharaj as his Shiksha Guru, and he loves me like an affectionate son. And later, when Prabhupada starts speaking, he says, what Govinda Maharaj has said is true. I revere Sridhar Maharaj as my Shiksha Guru, and I see him as my loving, affectionate son. He, you know, certified that. So 1984, he's doing that. His sister, Bhavatarini Didi, affectionately known to the devotees as Pishima, she knew, and also, I mean, she looked like Prabhupada. So much so, sometimes it was hard not to smile, because it looked like Prabhupada dressed in a sari. You know, so sometimes, like, I just have to, like, look away. Her movements, the way she talked, the same glasses, you know, it was so, I had to take her once from Calcutta to Vrindavan, and it just, it was never ending, just being charmed. And she was with another girl who spoke Bengali. They were in one compartment. I was with another boy, Brahmacharya, in another compartment. And what she would do is send the girl over to give us different types of prasadam she cooked throughout the trip. And then when we finally got to Mathura, that girl spoke American. She spoke Bengali. She would be like the interpreter. And we're at like Mathura, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking like, oh, it must be very exhausting for her. I'm thinking like, maybe we need to make some sleeping arrangement, motel or something. And she's like, ki bolten? Asking her like, what did he say? And when I said, you know, we don't have to continue here. We can take a break. And that was not gonna be the program. It was like, load everything up. She had all these net bags full of pots, jars of condiments, and like, just all for cooking. Many bags. And, you know, jars of ghee, mustard oil, this, that, the other thing. And she just wanted, like, on to Vrindavan. So she had first initiation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. She wanted to take second initiation from Srila Guru Maharaj, but he was not initiating at the time. She paid for the publication of the first edition of Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam. Guru Maharaj directed her to Goswami Maharaj for second diksha, mantra diksha. But she told Swami Maharaj, as his business was failing, like, there are people who say anything and everything, but there's some people who say that, they go, Prataparudra Maharaj, when he came under the influence of Mahaprabhu, then he lost the martial spirit, and then, you know, they lost Orissa. You know. So there are people saying, like, Swami Maharaj, but this is kind of sweet, they're saying, like, why did his business fail? And because he and Sridhar Maharaj, when Sridhar Maharaj is in Calcutta, they're spending hours talking about Mahaprabhu and Krishna and neglecting the business. If that's true, it's a wonderful thing. But his sister, seeing that the business was going down, family life was just a burden, she said, you know, Prabhu, you should just preach. And we'll take care of all these family matters. Just give this, even his sister is telling them, what a wonderful sister. And she's saying, you forget all of these people, like including your wife, your children, you preach and we'll take care of this. And Prabhupada has a dream, Saraswati Thakur repeatedly appearing to him saying, come out of family life. And he said, like, I thought, oh, horrible. But horrible, not horrible. But then 1955 or so, we can say, he takes Vanaprastha on his way to sannyas, situates himself in Vrindavan at the Radha Damodar temple, as we described the other day. And there, sometimes he's sending postcards to Guru Maharaj, like say how things are going. Or he wrote some very interesting Vyas Puja offerings there, poems. And one postcard to Guru Maharaj, he said, I am totally disgusted with human civilization. He said, rather, the animals appear to be more friendly to me. So you can see like what sort of realization was going on internally. And in his poems, he wrote about his family life and former relationships. He said, now that I am penniless, no one wants to have anything to do with me. And all that remains of that life is a long list of names. Right. So as Prabhupada himself said in that meeting in Chandradwaya Mandir and at various times in his Bhagavatam purports, yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai. If Krishna favors a devotee, he will take everything away from them. And because I know people get nervous when they hear this, I modified it a little bit to say, take every way, and I read it too. I just did not sit around like, oh, I've got to change this. No, I mean, I read more deeply in the scripture and said, he takes away everything inauspicious for them. And I think that makes the devotees less nervous. Because who can understand the inconceivable will of Krishna? So Prabhupada, he's in a state of poverty in Vrindavan. That Bedanam contract he has in the room in Radha Damodar, I forget, 30 rupees a month or something like that. It's very little, and as we told, how he's there typing the Bhagavatam manuscripts on the back of used paper. But he takes sannyas from Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, who had taken sannyas from Srila Guru Maharaj. And he has this resolute determination to execute the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur, which leads him to leave Vrindavan, as we discussed the other day, his journey on the Jaladuta to America. And there he, one by one, he converts devotees, it becomes thousands, and he, true to form, publishes the, he said from the beginning, the Bhagavatam is going to be 60 volumes. So he publishes this thing. Not just a book, you know, because you have his Bhagavad Gita, 1,000 pages. And you think, oh, another book or two. No, the Bhagavatam, it's 60 volume set. When we would go to the, on that library party, distributing the books to the professors, sometimes, because we would speak a little nebulous, the language, you know, sometimes they'd start figuring out. We're getting them to sign standing orders, which means as each new volume is published, they're already committed to purchasing that. So that's why it's a standing order. So sometimes we'd show them 3 or 4 volumes, and they'd start figuring out how many volumes this is going to be. Like, so they go, how many did you say this was going to be? And we'd always go, 12 cantos. 12 cantos. You know, they go, oh, 12, like 12 volumes, they could, like, all right, even, you know, they realize it's going to be 60. And you're going to have to pay for each one. Right. 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamritam. And numerous other publications. And in his final days, it's known, it's been written about, he's still translating the Bhagavatam. Jayadvaita Maharaj is like holding he always used the dictaphone he would speak into. You press the button and talk, and then the tape moves and records. Let go, it stops. He's lying on his bed, emaciated, right? Just day by day dwindling in health and vitality. And so with Lena and Jayadvaita Maharaj holds the dictaphone, and he keeps saying, you know, in this regard, Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, and he's creating purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. He went up to the 10th canto, 13th chapter. Right? And we just celebrated the Govardhan Puja in the last week or so, it was Manifest Pastimes. He expressed his heart's inner desire while at Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan to be taken to Govardhan by bullock cart. much to the consternation of the devotees who begged him to rescind this order because they think he won't survive the journey. But he's expressing his heart's desire to at last take shelter at Govardhan, as was expressed by Srila Saraswati Thakur, as expressed by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Nija nikata nivasa dehi govardhanatvam. So perfectly on target, ontologically, and every other way. So everyone who is in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement, they have an eternal debt of gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for foregoing his own comfort and convenience, bilasatu hridi nityam bhakti siddhanta vani, being ever attentive to the voice of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur playing in his heart that moved him to come out of Vrindavan, cross over the ocean, and spread Krishna consciousness all over America and subsequently all over the world. And the first time I mentioned when I heard Guru Maharaj's tape, but then the first time I met him was a year later in 1979, and who later became Bhakti Abhay Narayan Maharaj and I, we went there, and Srila Guru Maharaj was asking what was our preaching field, and we went back to time, oh, we're preaching, you know, in the communist countries, and I had just been to what was then the Soviet Union, and that's when Srila Guru Maharaj said, there was a cloud of atheism hanging over the country. And then Swami Maharaj went there on that one famous visit. You see him walking in Red Square, and you see St. Basil's Cathedral off in the distance, saying, by his presence, the presence of a Mahabhagavata, he said, the cloud of atheism lifted. He said, and now you can go there and preach successfully. So, such inspiring words he gave to us, and such great praise for Srila Prabhupada. And even, we say, Bhakti Hridaya Ban Maharaj, who sometimes was rivalry because he was sent originally and could not show so much success, and later Prabhupada showed unparalleled success, so it was a little bit awkward at times. But Ban Maharaj would be there on Prabhupada's appearance day. Prabhupada give him a very nice seat next to his Vyasa son, but it was always hard for him to praise his godbrother who had outshone him. But Guru Maharaj said in his final days, Ban Maharaj had been like to ISKCON Mayapur and other places, and he came to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat to visit Guru Maharaj. And his final words about it, he said, what Swami Maharaj has done, he said, achintya, means like inconceivable. He at last had to admit, like, it just keeps getting bigger and growing more and more and developing. And so he said, achintya. And we see to this day that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is like ever growing and expanding, and particularly in India. And I remember we were driving by once with Sandeep Krishna Prabhu, and there was some like new ISKCON structure. And it's like, you know, one of the largest buildings I'd ever seen. And I said, oh, is that the new temple? And Sandeep said, no, that's the kitchen. This gigantic, and he said, no, that's the kitchen. Yeah. And I recall Prabhupada saying, this is kitchen religion. How important the kitchen is always in every mat, every temple. And he would cook sometimes too. And I had the good fortune once, this Vishnu Janaswami came out of Prabhupada's quarters in LA, and he called me at the time, "Dear Krishna, come with me." And we went under like a weeping willow tree. He was very dramatic person, and he was a sannyasi, and he produced from a little bag or something some prasadam, and he said, "This was cooked by Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "Just imagine how pleased Krishna was to take this, you know." And so we sat there under the tree and under the influence of that conception, thinking, "Oh, this is very special. Not only prasadam, like cooked by Prabhupada, offered to Krishna, taken by Prabhupada, this is very special." And indeed it was. So, Krishna's delegation, the infinite, has infinite alternatives. The line goes on, the current goes on. Those who have the good fortune and grace to have the eyes to recognize that spiritual substance and spiritual current. Prabhupada himself wrote, interestingly, in his Vyas Puja offering to Srila Saraswati Thakur, he said, "When we speak of Gurudev, the principle of Gurudev, we speak of something that is of universal application. Thus, there does not arise any question of differentiating my guru from your guru or anyone else's." He said, "There is only one guru who appears to us in an infinity of forms to instruct you and me and all others. If Prabhupada himself had not said these words," and he just said, "There is only one guru who appears to us in an infinity of forms," people would be saying, "That's Mayavad," or so many things. But he said this. Right? So I included that in the beginning of Sri Guru and His Grace. "So only one guru appears to us through an infinity of forms. It's not Mayavad. Bande Gurun." Someone recently wrote in the comments to Ashutosh Krishna Prabhu, they saw, as I said this many years ago in the introduction of the Guardian Devotion pamphlet, "Bande Gurun, the Chaitanya Charitamritam, which is the postgraduate study for Gaudiya Vaishnava, began," these are the first two words. Okay? It's not just a perfunctory, generic acknowledgement or praise of Guru. It says, "Bande Gurun, I offer my obeisances to the spiritual masters," plural. So it occurred to me at the time, to go deeper into this understanding, one has to embrace the plurality of gurus. And that's in consonance with what was expressed in Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja offering, I think it was 1936, to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And why, when Prabhupada said about Guru Maharaj, "After my disappearance, the necessity arises to consult higher authority, go to Sridhar Maharaj," he said, "I consider him to be my Shiksha Guru. What to speak of the benefit that you can have from his association?" So he was saying, not that I'm just telling you that because no one's around and you need some guidance. No, he's saying, "I consider him to be my Shiksha Guru. What to speak of the benefit that you can have from his association?" And that's why, in following the current of Sri Guru and Rupa Nugadhara, we continued by taking shelter at the holy lotus feet of Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami, at the indication, the order of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's Tirubhav Mahamahotsava Titi Ki Jai.